News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106. Closer to home, of course, we have cities around the country mired up with people parking tractors, trucks and buses in the main streets. O'Connell Street, O'Connell Bridge is case in point, totally gummed up. I think there's something in the order. My count put it at around 30 vehicles there. But the man who'll be able to tell us exactly the kind of numbers is Josh Crosby, who is in O'Connell Street as we speak. What's happening there this morning, Josh?
Hi, Anton. So as I look down O'Connell Street now, there are over, I suppose, 70 vehicles in total. Now, some are parked on the quays as well, and a mix of tractors, trucks, jeeps and vans. But it's O'Connell Street Bridge where the most impact from this protest is being felt in Dublin this morning. As I look over now, Dublin city centre is at a standstill right here. And I've been told by some of them, I was asking them, will you be here just for the morning rush hour? And I was told there will be no rush hour. This is not moving. And this is not just being felt in Dublin, Anton. There's traffic disruption in Galway, blocking the Dock Road. Parts of the M8 are closed in Tipperary. The same with the M7 in Limerick. The N22 in Cork around Macroom. And staying in Cork, they've also blocked off Shannon Park roundabout in Carrigaline. So this protest is showing no signs of slowing down anytime soon. And for anyone getting the Lewis, there's no green line between St. Stephen's Green and Dominic this morning. But we'll hear from one man shortly who told me that yesterday was only a practice run. He said the government can stop this if they were to meet with them. Now, we do know the Irish Road Haulage Association had a meeting, and there's more meetings expected, but the association is not involved in this fuel protest. I tried to get some details from those I spoke with here this morning about what their plans are for the day. I asked, would they be heading up towards the Dáil or other major roads around Dublin? And they were not giving away too much. And this was, it was similar to when I covered similar protests a few years ago. It's the same kind of attitude, that they want to keep certain details close to their chest without telling the media. So we'll hear from one man who's protesting here now, Christopher Duffy from Navan and Meath. He's an agricultural contractor, and he told me road users can expect major disruption today.
We don't get some relief on our fuel, it's lights out in my business, and for any of the people here, the hauliers, the bus companies, and just the general people trying to run their businesses.
Now tell me, we're still in Dublin. How did you get on throughout the night?
Sure, we get on well. I didn't sleep now, Ranton, but look, we're raring to go now again, and we're putting the call out for more people to get in here, because it's day two. And it's full go again.
And what kind of reaction are you getting from the public when there's disruption caused to Lewis lines or traffic, bus routes?
We're not getting any hassle anyway. There's always going to be a few Karens given out here and there. But look, if we are successful, they will reap the benefits as well. So.
And the interactions from the guards then? You're not being asked to move on?
Oh, not at all. No, the guards are 100%.
Yeah. So day two, how long are you prepared to continue it?
We feel that we're going to get some sort of response this morning, because there's going to be major disruption. All the government have to do, and this is what I want to emphasise to the people, if we get a call that they're giving us a meeting, this stops immediately.
You say major disruption?
Oh, major.
If anyone thought yesterday was bad,
no.
Today's going to be worse?
Yesterday was only a practice run.
So that was County Meath agricultural contractor Christopher Duffy. Josh, this is the thing that we were discussing earlier on, myself and Jared Howland. With protests of this nature, I mean, we saw the Irish Road Haulage Association threatening a protest. But what tends to happen if it's the IFA or the Road Haulage Association is they go to their members. There's either a ballot or a sense of membership intent. There's a clear set of objectives. And then there is an entity with which the government can negotiate if they choose to. Is this being run by any particular group or association, or is it just a bunch of people with tractors?
So I actually asked Christopher Duffy, who we just heard from, this very question before we started recording. I said, look, are you from a certain group, or can I say you're from a group? And his response to me said, there are no groups. And what I found yesterday, it's not just hauliers, it's not just farmers, that there are people working in construction and people just, I suppose, fed up with the price of fuel. But if you go online, one of the most linked online groups to this is called The People of Ireland Against Fuel Prices. This is an online page. It has over 50,000 followers. And when you click in any of the WhatsApp groups, associated with the page. It posts up what WhatsApp groups to connect to if you're from a certain county. It's localized for your route of the convoys. And when you go into these WhatsApp groups, you'd have around 300 contacts in these groups. So this was really organized online, Anton. We know the Gardaí said in this in their initial statement on Monday that they've had limited interaction with people posting information about this because it was organized online. But some of the signs here on the slogans, as I look at them right now in front of the tractors, they're signs for fair fuel for farmers, can't afford to move, no farms, no food. And the main point they're making, as we've heard yesterday and today, is to cap fuel. One man did tell me he'd like to see this escalated to cover other issues such as homelessness, immigration and corruption. So it's yet to be seen what reaction this receives if the disruption rolls on. And this is something I asked farmer and contractor John Dallin from Castledermot in County Kildare.
I mean, it's not sustainable to stay working at the diesel costs and the way the diesel is rising. So basically, we're here calling on government to please save the economy, because the economy is not going to stay going. I think it'll collapse, because the farmer is the man that puts the food on the table. He relies on the contractor, and the contractor, with the inflation of the cost of diesel, he's going to have offload the extra costs onto the farmer. So he's going to have to get more for what he's producing.
And yesterday, now, there was mixed support, but then there are some people who think that this form of protest, you could lose public support if it was to prolong for a few days. You don't think so?
The public here in Dublin City actually has... most of them came to us and they said, God, lads, it took you long enough to come. The public are starting to hurt as well, and to see where we're going. But, like, I mean, I'm calling on the government, for the people of Ireland, of the island of Ireland, please sit down, try and save our economy. Do you realise where we're heading? We're heading into another recession, worse than 2007 and 8.
For people listening right now, what can they expect today?
Well, today, unfortunately, we don't want to do what we're doing. We are going to lock up O'Connell's Bridge. And until they listen, and until somebody from government comes and meets us, that's what we are prepared to do.
So there you go, Kildare farmer John Dolan, who is one of the protesters blocking O'Connell Bridge. And we'll be continuing with updates like that from Josh Crosby. Josh, thanks again. And we'll get those updates throughout the day. Now, in so much as there is a coherent single objective for the protesters, it seems to be that there is a desire to put a cap on the price of fuel. Lisa Ryan is with us. She's energy economist at UCD. How practicable is that, Lisa?
Good morning. Well, I suppose putting a fuel cap on prices means effectively reducing the taxes that the government takes in on fuels. As we know, I mean, fuel prices are made up of approximately 50 to 60% taxes. The government already gave a reduction in excise duty. But the amount given maybe to the haulage, the commercial diesel sector, was less than that. So I suppose you could imagine that, you know, they would feel that, you know, sufficient measures maybe haven't been given so far.
And presumably the argument that they will make is that, look, the government is high on the hog. The state has been running a surplus. We have a taxation take that is at record high levels. So the money is there if they chose to give it. Is there any good economic reason that the government's hand would be further stayed in giving a reduction of excise duty or any other type of measure?
Well, there is. I mean, we're talking about fossil fuels here and our dependence on them. So by, you know, subsidising fossil fuels, effectively, when you cap the prices, it's not like the price is still has risen on the wholesale market. So by capping the price, it means that somebody has to, you know, make up the gap in that. So if you reduce the tax take, or you just cap the price, but then either the wholesale importer has to pay that gap, or if you reduce your tax intake, then of course you're reducing the money coming into government revenues, which means that, you know, we have less money available for other things. So subsidies, which is effectively what, you know, if you're giving tax relief, is if you put if you give a subsidy, you're reducing money that's available for other things. So you could argue that in the short term, especially in the commercial sector. But with rising prices, there is a risk that we're going to have inflation overall, because we're going to have rising prices, you know, trickling through to our grocery prices, to everything else. But we do need to be very careful with how that's managed, because you can address short-term affordability with, you know, maybe reducing your tax take. But in the longer term, what you really want to be doing is increasing our resilience so that this doesn't happen again, or at least we're less reliant on fossil fuels.
Lisa, thank you. Lisa Ryan, energy economist at UCD.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.